Okay, if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we'll read those again. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to begin this morning by giving praise to God for some of the responses that you've told me about to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, this series of messages we've been giving on our theme verse this year. Some of you have shared how you've put off some weights. You've kind of made a decision which has been a long time on your mind, and this has kind of brought you to that place. That's it. I have to make that decision. And so you have put aside those things which have been hindering your Christian life, and others that have just been encouraged and motivated just through these times. So I just want to praise God for that and want to exhort you and myself through daily endurance. Keep on God's course until you finish the race. Kind of maybe listen to me as a voice on the sidelines saying, keep running, keep running, keep going. Maybe you can run back and say, why don't you exercise yourself? But hey, sometimes coaches are like that, eh? But anyways, just encourage that God has led us to this particular theme verse and for some of the responses to this verse. So we're continuing this morning thinking about this theme verse. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus. And we'll continue again next week on that, and then we'll do after that just verses every so often we'll be looking as we continue to through Hebrews 12. So today and next week and then intermittently after that. This verse tells us, many have gone before us in the life of faith and have pleased God and have finished well. And in their shadow, we too are to lay aside the weights of the world and the sins of the flesh which so easily entangle us and pursue enduring faith, carrying the burdens and responsibilities that God has given to us and suffering the hardships that come along the way for those who belong to God. Today I want to consider the phrase, let us run the race that is set before us. Kind of the crux of the verse. Let us run the race that is set before us. I want to look at that phrase, and I want to do it by looking at the three key words that are in that phrase. Race, run, and then set before us. So I want to look at those three words and kind of see what this phrase is teaching us this morning. So the first word we translate as the word race in English. I think probably most translations have race in that part of the text. The Greek word for race is agona. That's where we get our English word agony. I don't know if you're as old as I am, but the wild world of sports used to always begin with this guy going down a hill and then crashing, right? And the agony and the ecstasy of sports. And so that word we use there is the word agona, where we get our word agony. And of course it's a good word to use because there's intensity, there's physical training that comes in, there's endurance, there's the emotional and willful involvement in running a race, especially a race of an Olympic type of seriousness kind of thing. Originally, this word described the place where the Greeks assembled to celebrate their annual games. So we would go to the agona to do our contests, our sports. And then the word eventually came to mean an athletic competition, such as wrestling or racing or chariot races or whatever competitions they might have. So in our translation, we say the word race, but really it means an athletic contest. And you might see that in some of your translations, to run the contest. That's what it's like in the interlinear. It says the contest that is before you, not specifically a racetrack as such, but a contest that is before you. The agonai brings to mind an intensely competitive encounter requiring much physical strength and mental training. The contest involves physical effort and willful determination in order to win. And if you hear interviews with Olympic competitors, it's as much about the training as it is about the mental focus that they have. And even you see sometimes in Stanley Cup competitions and so on, you see the team that has been doing well all year but has never actually been under this mental strain of playoffs. They kind of collapse. So there's a mental focus here as well as the physical aspect to it. One of the ways that the Bible describes the Christian life is by comparing it to an athletic contest. We see that in this verse and in a number of other verses. Sometimes the contest is even escalated to an all-out battle. And we see that analogy, that metaphor used as well in terms of describing the Christian life. The verse we're studying is one example of an athletic contest. As Christians, we are to live our faith as if competing to win an athletic contest or fighting a battle against our enemy. We are to live the Christian life determined to win the contest and to fight the battle and win. There's a strong call to a mental focus here that we are in a contest, that we're in a battle in relation to the Christian life. And that comes up a number of places in Scripture in the New Testament. Here are three contests, three battles that the Bible speaks about regarding our Christian life. And I just want to briefly mention these three contests. You'll recognize them. You'll say, well, that's familiar to me. And one of the contests is against the godless world that we live in, the world. God saved us and took us out of this evil world. Galatians 1, 3, and 5 says this, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." In Christ, we are no longer part of this condemned and evil world. Because God has delivered us from this present evil age, we are no longer to love the world. We are not to let the world influence us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. There are many verses in the New Testament which talk about not letting the world influence us. Our contest is against the world because the world is determined to tell us how to think, what to desire, what is valued and important, what is true, and how we are to live. Our worldview should be biblical and not worldly. Our perspective on life should come from God's point of view, not from the godless world point of view that we live in. In many ways, we allow the world to disciple us instead of the Word of God to disciple us. We take our lead from the world and not from the Word of God. We need to exert ourselves to win this contest against the world. Now, too often, our approach is to isolate ourselves from the world while allowing the world to infiltrate our minds. We cut ourselves off from the world, what's outside, what the world is, and yet we continue to let the world be the strongest influence on our life. God's way is to be godly people who live as shining lights in the godless world and win others to Christ. So how do we win this contest? We win this contest against the world by conforming our minds to God's Word and by feeding our hearts with heavenly pursuits so that we desire God and not the things of this world. Another contest described in Scripture is against the flesh. The flesh resides in us even as believers and continually calls us to sin. God has given us the Holy Spirit to struggle against the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, How do we win this contest against the flesh? We win this contest against the flesh by learning the Word of God, by watching and praying. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And by submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit. And then a third place where we have a contest, it's described as our contest against the devil and his demons. The devil and his demons hate God and continually seek to destroy mankind who are made in the image of God and those who seek to glorify God with their lives. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. The devil seeks to seduce us with lies and condemnation and accusations and false guilt. He seeks to lead us to legalism or lawlessness, to preoccupation with this world, to despair and discouragement. He seeks to disturb relationships and unity, to disrupt prayer and witnessing, and replace peace with fear. So the devil is our enemy, and really the enemy of all the people that are in this world. His aim is to destroy all that represents God, and mankind made in the image of God is part of that destructive goal that he has. How do we win this war? We win this contest against the devil by being strong in the Lord, by knowing our authority over the devil in Christ, by maintaining a clean conscience, by prayer, by resisting the devil, by an attitude of humility, and by exposing sin. So we could talk about all these areas in a great detail and add a lot more. I just want to point to you this morning to remind you again that we are in a continual contest of faith against the world, against our own flesh, and against the devil who seeks to destroy us. We are to endure and to walk in faith and to finish strong in faith the course that is set before us, the contest that is set before us. Second word I want to look at here is the word we translate as run. So this word means to exert oneself, strive hard, to spend one's strength to attain or perform something. So it goes right along with the word contest or agona. This word is a word filled with effort and striving and exerting ourselves to perform or to attain something. Our striving against the world, the flesh, and the devil is to be intense and all-consuming. Even verse 4 of chapter 12 here says that, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. There's an intense striving that is called for in Scripture. The pursuit of faith that pleases God is to be intentional, deliberate, disciplined, determined, energetic, forceful, and passionate. In a series of exhortations that Paul gives in Romans 12 to live the Christian life, he says, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Hebrews 6:11-12, we read this, we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Not slothful, not sluggish, but earnest in our faith. Throughout the letter to the Hebrews, we are exhorted to earnestness, endurance, struggle. Do not drift away. Discipline. Be mindful. Do not harden your hearts. Take care. Do not be sluggish. Draw near. Recall. Do not shrink back. Believe. Lift up drooping hands. Strive. Do not become bitter. Patience. Do not neglect. Obey. I could have probably added another dozen to this list. The Christian life is not a part-time pursuit, but an all-consuming effort of enduring faith before the living God. This verb to run is in the subjunctive mood, so you can wow your friends with that information. What the subjunctive is it states something that might take place in the future. It's a future possibility, but not a future certainty. And so the author is urging those he is writing to strive with him in the contest of faith that is set before them, but the choice is really theirs. Perhaps they will run with him in this course of faith. Perhaps they will choose not to run with him. He's inviting them to pursue the life of faith along with him and is seeking to provide every incentive for them to strive to win the contest that is set before them. So you have this contest and you have this intense pursuit of the contest that is to take place. And we're invited by the author to run with him, to pursue with him, to strive with him, to exert our energies with him along the course that is set before us. And so let's look at that last word in the phrase here, translated as set before us. This is really one word in the Greek. It means appointed, destined, or in front of. The word is used three times in the book of Hebrews. I found this interesting. Hebrews 6:18, it's used for the hope that is set before us. Hebrews 12:2, in speaking about Jesus, it's used for the joy that is set before us. And then in Hebrews 12:1 here, it's used for the contest that is set before us, in which we are to exert ourselves and live by faith. Not only is there a contest set before us in which we are to exert ourselves, but there are also great promises before us, the promises of hope and joy and eternal life. I like the ratio, too. Two promises to every we are to run. We have two promises to go with that. This participle is a present passive. The present means that it's a continually being set before us, so the path is steadily unfolding, as it were. The contest is steadily unfolding before us. And the passive voice means that someone is setting that contest before us. We're not setting the contest there ourselves. It's being set before us. The passive voice means that someone is setting the contest before us. It is God who continually sets the course we are run before us. God orders each day, each moment of our circumstances and the responsibilities we have, the trials, the blessings, the needs of others, and we are to exert ourselves to respond to these circumstances by faith. So there is a course. That course is ongoing, but God is the one who sets that course or that contest before us. So what does this contest that is set before us look like? Well, I think it's really different for each and every one of us. I envision it as a series of small contests, as it were, small incidents that we encounter each day. Some are larger. Some last a long time. Some are dealt with in a very short time. But a series of contests that are along this course, which leads us to the heavenly city where this path is destined to end. This contest set before us can be summed up under three headings. Again, headings that are familiar to most of us. The first heading is justification. The course that God sets before us begins with our salvation. If you are not a Christian this morning, the first step of faith for you is to ask God to save you from your sin because Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin. If you do not ask God to save you in Christ Jesus, then your course plainly leads to hell. No matter what you do along the way, your destiny without Christ is hell. With salvation in Jesus Christ, your final destination is heaven. Get on to God's course by asking Him to save you in Jesus Christ. Your first concern is salvation in Jesus Christ and nothing else until you get that salvation. Justification, right with God, righteous in God, and then destined for God's promise of eternal life. Then we have sanctification. God's course for all of us who belong to God in Christ is that we be holy and loving and become more and more like Jesus. God's course has character as its goal. God uses pain, suffering, trials, persecution, instruction, service, worship, prayer, blessings each day to make us like Jesus. Our striving is to follow after God by faith and to become like Jesus. Our destiny is heaven and to be like Jesus. And then the final course, the end of the course, is glorification. One day all our strivings will come to an end and we will be with God forever. That is the hope the joy, the promise to which we look to each day as we exert ourselves in the contest that God has set before us. I want to close by doing two things this morning. First, I want to put this phrase, "Let us run the race that is set before us," in my own words, because I find that taking a text and trying to put it into my own words, using what I've learned about the meaning of the words, helps me to understand the phrase better. So I've done that. I've actually put that in your bulletin this morning. So the author, as far as I see, is writing this: "Join me by exerting yourself in the contest that God is setting before us." Join me by exerting yourself in the contest that God is setting before us. And that's my exertion or exhortation to you this morning as well. And for me and for you to me as well. Join me by exerting yourself in the contest that God is setting before us. The second thing I want to do is share with you how I picture this phrase. I like to sometimes picture Bible texts, and I've got a picture in mind with regard to this one. So let me share that with you as I close. I see myself traveling on a narrow road. Before me on this narrow road are many different contests that God has set before me. The contest of being holy in a godless world with many temptations to my flesh. The contest of parenting sinful children as a sinful parent. The contest of honesty and integrity in my work with the desire to share Christ with my fellow workers. The contest of finances in a world that is increasing in its demands to get what I have worked for. The contest of my relationship with my wife and relatives and friends. The contest for time to deepen my relationship with God and my understanding of God's Word. And I could add, again, a whole list of these different contests, and you have your own lists of contests that you're going through right now. Through all of these agona set before me by God, I must endure. Each contest requires a different response, but all require the response of faith. I must stand under the weight of responsibility and trials and exert myself to live by faith. Now, the weight of all these contests in this narrow road can be very crushing and discouraging as we see them day after day after day after day after day. And it would crush us and discourage us if it were not for three things. And we've already seen two of these things already. The examples of those who have gone before me, including Jesus Christ. And we've talked a lot about that. He has a whole chapter here in chapter 11 about those who have gone before, just as an encouragement, as an incentive. At the others have made it. They've fallen. They've sinned. They've done all kinds of things, but they made it. They ran the race and they won, and God was pleased with them. So they have these examples. And then the strength that my relationship with God provides each day. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And number three, the promises of hope and joy that God has set before me. The promises. Hope is such a powerful incentive in the course that we are to run each day. On this narrow road full of daily contests, I frequently see on each side of the road large flashing fluorescent signs. So you got this narrow road. You got these contests. But I got these huge signs on each side of the road, and they're fluorescent, they're flashing, they're trying to get my attention. Some of these signs have pictures of past saints that say, "Go for it, Ron." Others have a picture of Christ crucified. Others have the words, "Heaven just ahead," "Eternity just down the road," "The date for your appointment before God has been set," "Glorification right around the corner," "Resurrection near at hand." I probably would have put one up that said spring is right around the corner as well. These are encouragements from the past saints that give me strength for the present. The present strength of my daily relationship with God in Christ, which keeps me going. And the hope and joy that are promised in the future, which cause me to strive in the contest that God has placed before me. So, brothers and sisters, endure and strive in the course that God has set before you. Look to these billboards that are all around you, encouraging you, strengthening you, and telling you to go on and keep running the course that God places before you in the circumstances of your life each and every day. May God fill all of us with a renewed vision of our God and a determination to endure and to exert ourselves until we attain to the great promises of God. We have so much to keep us going, but we need to be intense about that pursuit.